It is so good to be in the house of the Lord, where we can find His presence and let Him minister to us in the power of His grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Psalms, the 11th division. Listen, I'm just going to project to you that third verse of the 11th chapter, 11th division of Psalms. That is the theme of what I want to preach to you about as I continue the message on back to the basics. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love, for Your mercy. We ask, God, that You would reach down and touch this house with the power, the grace, the glory of Your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us. God, help us, Lord, to trust in You, to believe in You, and to commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. We want to thank you again for being here tonight, and we believe God's going to bless you. Amen. Praise God. I will tell you, I found out this morning, I had talked with Bradley about it, and so now our services are being live streamed through the internet, so people that want to get on it can actually watch live the services that we're having. I asked him, did we have a wide-angle lens? Somehow in them little lenses, I gained weight. Glory. But we are being live streamed. I think that's awesome that people can actually watch the service live and be a part of it. And we thank God for that. Amen. But I want to talk to you tonight on getting back or back to the basics. And we need them. Church, the very things that we need. I mean, let's face it. We can learn all the fancy stuff there is about it. But if we don't get the basics down, none of that other stuff's ever going to work. Amen. I learned a long time ago when I was playing ball. If you play baseball, what the basics are for third base ain't the same basics for second base. It's a whole different ball game just by switching that little bit of the field. And what you did at third base won't work at second base because the ball comes in a different trajectory. But I also learned if I got the basics down, the whole idea was that once I learned the basics, I reacted without thinking. And that made me quicker. And you know what? We as Christians need to get the basics down so that we react without thinking. We don't have to remind ourselves we're supposed to do this or that or the other. But we learn the basics so that we automatically do what is there for us to do. Could you say amen? And if we don't have to think about it, it becomes an integral part of who we are and what we do. Amen. I talked to you this morning about the first foundation was the foundation of confidence. Learning how to trust in God, believing in God, and letting God move in our lives. And if we've ever needed anything, we need a refresher course in real faith in the church again. We need to get back to that place where when we believe God's going to do it, we believe He's going to do it. Amen. The first time I went to New York City to preach on my own, I went with a group of preachers in 1978. And I actually got to preach in a Haitian church. It was awesome. It was the only first time I'd ever gone to church where I couldn't move, literally. I was standing in the pulpit, and there was nowhere for me to walk because there's people sitting all around. We're not talking kids. The kids were across the hall. This was just adults, and they were so packed in that building that we couldn't move. We were just standing there preaching. Amen. And it was awesome. They understood faith. But the first time I went to New York to preach, the pastor said, look, I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. I want you to experience the service. I said, really? I've been evangelizing 12 so years. I don't care. You've never been in this environment. I got there and he preached. He called people up. He said, all those who want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, line up right here. You know how we have to do them. We got to shake them and hit on them and talk them into it. They stood there in a line because they believed when the preacher laid hands on them, they were going to receive the Holy Ghost. And he called me over and said, preacher, pray for them. I prayed for them, and they fell out like cordwood, all of them speaking in tongues because they received the Holy Ghost. It blew my mind. He said, that's why I wanted you here. He said, this ain't the South. You don't have to convince them. They really believe what you say is going to happen, and they expect it. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Amen. The first time I went back to preach for Brother Emmanuel Dennis, I got there on Sunday morning. I'd rode the train in. That was the morning I had the horrible experience of getting on the wrong train, ending up in Harlem instead of East Harlem. And I had to catch another train to get back. And believe me, you don't want to be in either one by yourself in a suit. I got out of the subway on purpose and was walking down the street, and I walked into a gang member. And I'll never forget, he was walking at me, and I was standing there, and I just started holding my Bible, just grabbing it, and finally looked down, and he said, "He bad, ain't he?" I went, And he went right on by, and all I could think was, "Thank you, Lord, that he saw that Bible and thought you were bad." Glory. Because I knew he was bad. Glory. I got to church, and I'm the only one in there that's not speaking French Creole, because they do everything in their native tongue. Now, when I preached, there was enough different ones sitting around, the ones that didn't know enough English to understand me. They just interpreted there. I didn't have to use an interpreter. But they were going through the service, and it's already 1 o'clock. And I'm sitting there going, man, these people are going to take all day, and they're testifying. And this elderly lady come down and took the mic, and she started testifying, and she got to rocking. And boy, she was into it. And it wasn't long, the whole place just blew up. And I'm talking about, they didn't have nowhere to shout. They were jumping up and down in their chairs. They would jump in the chair, jump out, and they're folding chairs. And I grabbed the brother next to me, and I said, "Brother, what's going on?" He said, "Oh, I don't need to listen anymore. I was here when it happened." He said, "She needed surgery. They were going to send her to Los Angeles, the only place they thought she might live, but they had to have their money up front." Now, church, I'm the same way around here. If they want their money up front, scares me. I'm afraid they don't know if you're going to be on the other side to pay. Glory. He said, "But we raised the money to send her to Los Angeles and put her daughter and her daughter-in-law in a room to stay with her for 2 weeks out there. And we had all that money together, and we got it ready that morning that they were supposed to leave." And so she came down, and the pastor presented her with a check. And she turned it over and signed the back, put it in an offering plate, said, "Pastor, that money will build 3 churches in Haiti. It'll save 1 old lady in America. And I've lived for God. And if God's ready for me to come home, I'm ready to go. But if he wants me to live, he can heal me. And either way, it's going to work." I said, "Man, what happened?" He said, "She fell out." And he said, "We had the same faith everybody else. We took her to the hospital." Come on, church, smile. You know how we are. I believe God. Let's go. I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "The doctor checked her out, come in," and he said, "It is amazing." He said, "She's been healed. There's nothing wrong with her. She doesn't need the surgery anymore." Well, I got to be honest with you, church. I'm lonely in this building because there's 300 people packed around me. They're all Haitians. They're speaking a different language, but there was a guy different in the back corner. He wasn't Haitian, but he was black, had slick hair. He's up on the back of a folding chair dancing. Don't try that at home. I'm watching him, and I'm amazed, and I grabbed the guy and said, "Who's the dude in the back?" He said, "That was her doctor. He's from India." Glory. He done come, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's on the back of the chair dancing. See, if we have faith and confidence in God, it spreads to those who come in contact with us, and we need that kind of faith. It shouldn't just happen in third world countries. It shouldn't just happen with people who got that. We ought to come to church with a life of expectancy that my God is able to do what this book said he could do. Glory. The second thing we need to get hold of is a foundation of commitment. Amen. Psalms chapter 37, one of my favorite verses. He said, "Trust in the Lord, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." When we commit ourselves to God, we make that commitment. And I believe it's time some of us realize real commitment's when you don't turn around. Any of y'all ever flown? Do you realize that when you're flying, there's a place going down the runway where you're either going to take off or crash? There's not enough room to stop. Now, I was in Kentucky one time, and I was flying in a plane in Kentucky, and the sign on the side that they had made put out there by the airport was a little different. It didn't say point of no return. It said fly or die, because the runway run off the end of the mountain, and you either went off or you was going down. And we passed it, and I saw the sign. I'm like, Oh, man. Glory. It got my attention. Hello? If you're flying to Hawaii, they will actually put a sign up, port of no return, because you're farther across water to go on back than it would be to keep going to Hawaii. And when you're flying, there's a place that you have to make commitment if you're going to make it. And there comes a time in your relationship with God when you've got to make up your mind, I'm committed to what I'm doing. I'm committed to what God's got going on in my life. I'm committed to where I need to be. And if you're not willing to make that commitment, you're never going to see come to pass the things God wants in your life. Could you say amen? Floyd Lahan, who's been here and preached for us, pastor of the church in Savannah, Georgia, he took in 1,500 members in 2 years, was running over 3,000. He believed that he was in God's will in Savannah, Georgia, till the overseer of California called him. And he said, I know this sounds stupid, but I was praying the other day and the Lord put it in my heart to offer you this church in California. Floyd said, oh, man, I'm happy. I'm not thinking about moving. Things are going wonderful here. We're seeing the move of God. I'm not going anywhere. And I'll never forget hearing him at a camp meeting one time. He said, I got so bad off I'd be sitting in a chair. And I just go, I ain't going to do it. My wife would say, what? He said, I ain't talking to you. He said, she thought I was going crazy. He got invited to California to preach a camp meeting. And the overseer takes him by this church. When he was in Texas as a young man pastoring, God gave him a vision. He saw in that vision a church sitting on a hill. While he was looking at that church, it blew up. When the smoke cleared, there was another building there. It blew up and the smoke cleared and a third building was there. All his life he kept thinking, I'm going to get to that place God wants me to be. And while they passed that building, he told the overseer to stop the car. He got out. He described the interior of that building to the point that the pulpit was off to the side. It was an old Presbyterian church, and the pulpit set to the side, stood to the center. Told him the color of the carpet, the color of the pews. And the overseer looked at him, and he said, I'm the man for that church. He said, are you for sure? He said, I know I am. He said, but Floyd, you don't understand. He said, no, you don't understand. I don't care how many they run. I don't care what it pays. 20-some-odd years ago, nearly 30 years ago, I saw that church in my vision, and this is where God wants me to be. He resigned the church in Savannah, took a church running 150 that had paid a little over $4,000 a month tithes the year before. If any of you watched Jensen Franklin preaching from California to that church that runs 4,000 or 5,000, that is the church he built from that little church on the top of that hill before he retired. God gave him all three of those buildings and a number of people in all different cultures that God put together to make a church because he made a commitment. God fell behind him and said, I'm going to do what I promised you I'd do because of the commitment you made. Church, some of us needs to realize we've got to make commitment to God. That's not just, oh, it's all right if it's working. No, I've got to be committed no matter what, that it doesn't matter. God is the only way, the only truth, the only life in me. Whew. Listen, commitment also means consecration. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, and accept on me, this being your reasonable service. But be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. I said, preacher, what are you getting at? What we put in here is what formulates what we believe. I had a guy told me one time, so I really like that preacher, said about 95% of what he says is pure gospel. I said, what about that other 5%? He said, well, is that going to hurt you? Church, any of y'all know what decon is? It's 99.999% inert material. It is the best tasting stuff a mouse or rat ever got his teeth on. It's that 1/1,000th of a percent of poison that will kill them every time they eat it. Oh, come on, church, smile. That's why you need to make sure whoever you're listening to got their nose in this book. Hello? And they stick with it. It's all right if they jump around in it, as long as they don't jump out of it. Amen. Come on, church. We were talking today, and somebody told me that they remember when they used to go listen to a man named John Osteen. I don't know if y'all have ever heard John. His son ain't a candle to him. I don't know if y'all understand that his son passed a big church, but his son didn't build that church. Daddy built that church out of a chicken pen. Glory. That's what kind of preacher he was. He filled a chicken pen up with folks. He was about 5'7", 5'8". I remember watching him pray for people. He'd run out there and have to jump up on them tall guys and slap them because he was too short. Amen. But a great preacher. I used to drive home at night, and this was before VCRs or anything. I'd always try to get home so I could watch John Osteen. Amen. Because he was a great preacher, a man of God. But he preached the word. He was consecrated to God. He believed in divine healing and the presence of God. And church, let me tell you something. We need to get back to that place where we're consecrated to what God has given us to live by. And we get passionate about living for God and living for what he means and what he has. And we get passionate to saying, God, I want to be in your will. I don't want to just go somewhere. I want to know that I know that I know that where I am is where you want me to be. Could you say amen to that, church? Consecration to what God wants. Listen, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundations of God stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor. But if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You ever noticed that there is degrees of people who follow Christ? In the disciples, there were 12 guys that followed him more than anybody else. There were a lot of people followed him, but there's 12 got in that inner circle, stayed with him all the time. But you ever notice out of that 12, there was three that went with him where some of the rest of them didn't get to go? They saw things none of the rest of them got to see. But isn't it amazing there was only one of them actually paid enough of a price to lay his head on his chest? Hello? You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? If you're just in the circle, that's what matters. It is, that's all you want. But if you're hungry enough, you can get in the inner circle where things will happen and be revealed to you that's never been revealed to others because they haven't been willing to pay the price. And let's face it, if we would get as hungry as John to the point that in the scripture it said John loved Christ, then you get to put your head on his chest. Anybody knows what happened? You put your head on somebody's chest. What do you hear? If you get close enough, you can hear the heartbeat of God. And that, my friend, is what it's all about, is to get so close to God you can feel his very heart beat and permeate. And then you understand, I believe in what I hear. Could you say amen? See, I believe we can get so close that we know when he speaks to us. And we know when he's talking to us. And because of that, we understand where we are and what we're doing. Amen. And if we're consecrated to God, we follow a path he wants us on. And it might not be the greatest path. I think one of the greatest things could be said about a minister was yesterday at the funeral. A young man preaching the funeral was actually a product of John Jack's ministry in Phoenix City. Got saved at the Oakview Church, or got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, started going to Oakview Church, and he mentored him as he came up. And he remember he said this. He said, he remember he asked Brother John one day, he said, don't you ever want to preach at camp meeting? You got to understand, this is a man pastored churches all of his life. Never had the opportunity to preach at a camp meeting. Never had the opportunity to preach at something like that. Brother John looked at him. He said, son, I preach a camp meeting every Sunday morning, far as I'm concerned. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Let me tell you something, church. It's not always the guy in the biggest church that's closest to God. One of the greatest mentors I had was the man I preached my first revival for. As far as I know, Brother Putman never pastored a church run more than 30. But he was happy where he was because he knew he was in the will of God. And he believed God for every plate of food that got in front of him, for everything that happened to him. Amen. I'll never forget, years after he retired, I was at his house one day. We were sitting out on the ground and behind his house, because he's country like me, and sitting on the ground just as comfortable as anything you can find. And we was flopped out there on the ground looking out across that hill behind that trailer he lived in over there near Fleetwood, Alabama. And I was sitting there with him, and I said, "Brother, I love you. You've meant a lot to me over the years." I said, "But you know, I've never understood why a man like you never got any higher, never went anywhere." He said, "Son, I went where God wanted me." And he said, "That was all I wanted." He said, "Them other fellas can have them big churches if they want them. I just wanted to be in the center of God's will. If he wanted me to have a big church, he gave me a big church right where I was." But he said, "You know what? I'm not the most educated fella you ever met. I'm probably not the most inspiring fella you ever met." But he said, "Ain't nobody can tell you I didn't love God, and they can't tell you I couldn't touch people for his glory. And everywhere I pastored, I saw souls saved. I saw people come to Jesus. I saw people get rededicated to God." And he said, "You know, it's amazing, but I laid foundations in three churches that grew to great churches after I left there, because somebody else had something I didn't have. But God put me there to lay down a foundation." And he said, "Hey, I'm not worried about what I didn't have. I'm just thankful for what I did have." And that's consecration, my friend, is when you understand it's not about where I am or what's happening in my life. It's about the fact that I know him in the power, the grace, and the glory of his love and his wonderment. And I've got a passion to know him more than I've ever known him in my life. Could you say amen? It's waking up in the middle of the night and being moved on by his glory. Glory. Oh, I've got to hurry. Part two is going to get too long. Amen. And I'm not promising this is the only points. There may be a three or four coming. But this is another thing we need. The foundation of communion. I read a scripture one time, caught my attention, because it starts with this, Isaiah 59 and verse 15. "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. And there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered." I read that and I said, "Wait a minute, God wondered? Why did God have bewilderment? A God that knows everything." But he said, "God wondered that there was no intercessor." Hello? "Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." God looked over the earth in the time of Isaiah. And Isaiah said, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I was bewildered because I found nobody making intercession for others." Let me tell you something, church. The problem that we have in the church world is not that God isn't who he is, and he's still the same God that he always was. The problem is a lack of communion with us, with that God. A lack of calling on his name and praying to him and seeking his face and talking to him about the things in our life. I mean, let's face it, we get so busy, and it's easy to do, that we can get caught up in what we're doing and be so busy that we forget to pray, that we forget to call on the name of the Lord, that we forget to make him an integral part of our life. And then suddenly trouble comes, and immediately we want to open the door. I believe that's why he cried to the church, "I stand at the door and knock. I want to commune with you. I want to talk with you, but you've got to dial the number. I'm not going to force myself on you, but if you'll call unto me, I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you cannot comprehend in your mind." Could you say amen? Amen. Luke 18, "And he spake a parable unto them, and he said that the man ought always to pray and not faint." In other words, we always call on God and not give up, not quit. Hello? Luke 21, 36, "Watch ye therefore, pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." We've got to get back to that place in communion where his prayer is a part of our life. We need to get that basic down where we don't have to think about it, but we go crazy when we realize we haven't done it. How many of you remembers when you first started dating your sweetheart? Huh? Y'all remember them phone conversations where both of you'd be going to sleep and neither one of you'd hang up? Huh? Yeah. Hello? And you wasn't about to go all day long without talking to them. Bro, JC agrees it ain't been that long ago. Should we as Christians not be the same way about Christ? That we don't want to go all day without hearing his voice, talking to him, communing with him, finding a place to be alone with him, because the greatest desire of our life is to come in contact with him. Come on, church, you know what I'm talking about. When you and your spouse or your girlfriend first got to know each other, you looked for reasons to call them. Even when you was told you're not supposed to, you'd find a way. Edit that, please, in case it makes it to Buell. Glory. We need to get to that place where God becomes important to us so that we want to talk with him. It's not the last thing we do, only when trouble comes. Come on, church. But we just got to have a touch of his life. But notice this, and this I think would help if we understand that we need communion in the Word. Had a guy tell me one day, he said, you know, preacher, I pray all the time. God don't ever talk to me. Well, I listened to him pray. It was 30 minutes of, oh, Lord, this is our service. I told him, I said, well, you never slowed down. Let him talk. Every once in a while, just take a break and let him speak to you. Your grocery list may still not all be read, but stop every once in a while and let him just kind of involved with what you already told him. But have you ever thought about this? Hebrews, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us in times past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What does that mean? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word then was made flesh. So if we look at it that way, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, God in many times before spoke to us through prophets, is now speaking to us through his Word, through his anointed Word that we read. It becomes a part of our life. Can I tell you, sometimes you need to just start reading the Bible, and you'd be surprised answers you'll find hidden in somewhere you've been reading before. Because if you want God to speak to you, this is his Word. Open it up. Begin to digest it, and it'll become life to you. It'll become real to you. It'll become faith to you. Could you say amen? Listen, that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God for the word of truth. John 6, 68, then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Psalms 119, or 19 and 9, fear the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and his righteousness altogether. But more to be desired are than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in keeping to them that is a great reward. Amen. If we've ever needed something, we need the Word. I challenge you to read that book. Someone said, where? Pick your spot. It doesn't matter. It's all the Word. I love Proverbs. It'll work you over. It'll help you learn something. But I enjoy Psalms. Of course, I enjoy the Old Testament. I like the Begats. Now that I can say some of them names. I used to read the Begats, and I'd get to Mareshal Ahasbaz and Sarah Jessup and Elishama, Eliadon, Eliph Eliat, and I'd skip them because they didn't mean nothing to me. I sent my exhorter's application off, and it said, how many times you read the Bible? And I put on there three times. I mailed that thing, and conviction hit because I had skipped them Begats. And the Lord said, you've never read them? And I went, are they important? And I actually read the Begats six times each, just so I wouldn't have lied on my application. And it was in there I found my favorite verse of Scripture, Elishama Eliada Eliph Eliad. 2 Samuel 5:16. God hears, God knows, God will deliver. Amen. And it doesn't matter what situation I get in. I can take that verse of Scripture and hold to it and say, God hears my prayer. God knows where I am, and God will somehow deliver me. And it comes for the communion of his word that is in me. And if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. That's why we need the communion of the word. Could you say amen? Whew. Pray with me. It's extending. Glory. But I got one more thing. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord thy God, Father, hath promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? We're Pentecostal. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not ashamed of that. If I was, I'd be something else. And I get sick and tired of these modernistic fellas telling me, you can't build a church if God moves in your church. If you have a move of the Spirit, it'll run people off. That's not Pentecostal. Church, I got news for you. If they saw the sign outside and they know we're Pentecostal, why did they come in here? Huh? I go to Catholic churches, and I don't have a problem going to their churches. I enjoy going back and seeing what I used to go to. It's all pomp and circumstance, but I ain't no problem with it. But if I go down there and they start turning flips, I'm going to be wondering. I go to Methodist church. I used to be Methodist. My dad was a Methodist preacher. I'm a fifth-generation preacher. The first one's not Methodist. I go to Methodist church. I expect them to act like Methodists. I don't have a problem with it. If they act different, I begin to wonder. I go to Baptist church. I expect to hear a Baptist message. I expect them to act like Baptists. I go there expecting what I'm going to see. If I go to a church that says we believe in the move of the Spirit, we believe in the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, we believe in laying on hands and seeing sick people recover, we believe in the gifts of that Spirit moving in the house of God, then I want to see the demonstration of what that sign out front says we believe in. And I'm there because I believe my God is still able to do what this book said he could do. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I am what I am because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God that moves. I wasn't raised Church of God. I thought they're the strangest, goofiest people in the world. We used to sit on a hill and laugh at them. But the night I got saved, I really didn't care what church I was in. I knew God got a hold of me. Amen. And I knew they had something I wanted. And I didn't care if people laughed at me anymore. I wanted what they had. I got hungry for what God was moving in their lives. And I began to seek God every night. And I began to ask God to touch me every time I went to church. Until one night in a little church in Cody, Alabama, I started up the aisle. I didn't make it about the third pew. And the power of God fell in my life. And the Holy Ghost fell on me. And my life was transformed by His grace. And I want to tell you something tonight. We need that kind of power. You say, why, preacher? Because Isaiah said it is the anointing of God that breaks the yoke of bondage and will set the captive free. And we need that anointing in the house of God today. Every once in a while, we need to go back to our roots. A couple of years ago, and I'm fixed to close. Sometime. I was on a properties committee. Went to the Cody Church of God. They was having a problem with the parsonage, and they sent us out there. Met the district overseer. Brother Barnes was with us. And we went in the church, and the pastor said, hey, we got some coffee back in the fellowship hall. We'll go back there and drink coffee and sit down and talk about the problem. And we came through the sanctuary, and they all took off in the bag. In a few minutes, it was a D.O., I believe, came back looking for me. And I was standing by the third pew crying. And he walked up and he said, what are you doing? I said, right here. 30-some-odd years ago, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I said, the first time in a long time I've been here, and I just wanted to stand here a minute and remember the night when the power of God just enveloped my life and took me into a place I had never been before and gave me a hunger to get back there more often. Amen. Three years later, on a Sunday night, Cody Church of God, I fell out in the spirit. I was praying about something that night that was very dear to me. And I wasn't sure how things was going to work. And I realized I've got to have God give me confirmation. While I was out in the spirit, the Lord spoke to me and said, I've taken care of it. I don't think it's an accident that I happened to be standing by that pew when I went out. I don't think it's an accident that I walked outside. Any of y'all ever been to Cody, Alabama? Son, it's plumb nearly out yonder, over there. You go to the Belt community and turn out in the country. Those of you know what it is, a Belt community is country. Amen. And you go past the Georgia Pacific place in Belt, turn out in the country, and that church is out there. I don't even know if there's a tower close by, much less phones working. And I walked out by the car, and my phone was ringing. And I answered the phone. And Brother Childers says, congratulations. You got the vote. You're the pastor. The Alabaster Church of God. I said, don't tell anybody. I said, you ain't gonna worry about that. The phone don't work. I don't know how in the world I got this call. I walked to the front of the car and lost him. It would not work. I could not get him back on the phone. He called the parsonage 30 minutes later to tell me he'd talked to the other two guys. I said, you can tell anybody you want. And I said, it's not a problem. He said, why? I said, well, there's already been four people called the parsonage to congratulate me. And one of them was in Mobile, so I'm pretty sure everybody in Alabama already knows. Glory. He said, preacher, what do you get that? Basics. Serving God. Making sure we're consecrated, that we're in tune, that we're communing with God. This is what it's all about. It's putting the foundations down that will carry us through every situation in our life if we sell out to Him. God is wanting to do a work in Alabaster Church of God. He's wanting to do a work in Alabaster with the Church of God. What He's looking for is people who will say, hey, I'm willing to start the bottom on the basics on me, and I'm going to work my way to to where God wants me to be. No matter what the answer, no matter where it takes me, I'm going to sell out to him. I don't even know why this came up this afternoon, but it's in my mind, so I'm going to share it with you. And some of you will remember what I'm fixing to tell you. I've been here about a year. Maybe a little longer. And some of you noticed that I had a little anxiousness about me for a few days. Finally, on Sunday, I confessed to you what had been bothering me. Some of y'all will remember me telling you that all my life as a minister, I dreamed that one day I was going to pastor a particular church. Now, Church of God overseers don't call you and say, hey, I got a church. Are you interested? You call them and say, I'm interested, and then they'll throw churches at you. I did not remember, but in a conversation with Brother Childers when he was the youth director of this state, I made a statement to him that I'd always dreamed of pastoring that church, and he remembered it. And he calls me on the phone and said, I got to ask you, because of a conversation we had and because I appreciate you, I don't want to pass you up without telling you that church is open. If it's your heart's desire, I will run your name there. Some of y'all looking shocked at me. I said it from this pulpit and told you about it once it was over with. But I had a few days of searching my soul, saying, God, this is something I've always wanted. I've always dreamed. I made up my mind it's probably going to be there in a millennial. I get to pastor there. But had I not been trying to live where I needed to be with God, I would have followed my heart and not my spirit. I would have gone where I wanted instead of doing what God wanted. I would have blown them and myself out of the water. But as I prayed, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm not finished with you where I am. And until I am, I don't want you to go anywhere. And I remember later on standing in this pulpit on a Sunday morning telling you that I knew again that I was where God needed me to be. I don't mind telling you that that church still holds a place in my heart, and I've never been there but twice to preach. And I don't know if I'll ever pastor that church. But I know this, I want to be in his will. I want to be where he wants me, doing what he wants me to do. And you see, it's not just whether you're a preacher. As a member of the church, you ought to say, hey, I want your will in my life. I want you using me, whether it's Sunday school teacher or where I'm singing a song or whether I'm a prayer warrior or whatever I'm supposed to do. Do you realize everybody in the church has a specific thing that you can do that nobody else can do? And unless you do it, it ain't going to get done. So I said, well, preacher, they can send somebody else. That's possible. But it'll never be done like it'd be done if you're the one he sent to do it, if you'll do it. And for that to happen, you've got to make up your mind. I want to get in communion with God. I want to get confidence in God. I want to consecrate myself to God because I want God to use me. And let me tell you something, church. You will never know happiness until you're in the center of God's will. Happiness will make you forget about what everything in the world offers you because you know that you know that you know. Brother Putman was happy, happy beyond belief, just because he knew he was in God's will. Stand with me all over the house. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your presence, for your power, for your glory. Father God, I believe you to reach down to touch this house, Lord, with the power of your divine grace. Move on us, Lord, with your love and your mercy. God, have your way in the service tonight. Every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're capable of doing great things in our lives if we put our lives in your hand and let you take us where you want us to go. God, in front of me is a congregation of people that love you, but we seek your direction, God. We seek your vision. And we're asking God to begin with us right now to rebuild the foundations through prayer and communion, consecration, and love and trust in you. Father, we come to you tonight, believe in you. Take us beyond the veil into your presence where sweet communion can take place. Lord, have your way in our lives. Right now, the Spirit of God's moving in this house. God's calling on us. How many of you tonight would say, God, I want to give you my life tonight. I may have done it before, I want to do it again. I want to give you myself, everything, every fiber of my being. I want it to be in your presence and in your will. God, I want to come to you to be used of you. God, I want you to use me for your kingdom. And in doing so, I want you, God, to break down every wall, every barrier in my life. Take over every kingdom of my heart.